You were listening to The Peaceful Planet, synthesized from spirit through the mediumship of Robert Murray. Listen in to The Peaceful Planet every Saturday at 12 noon Central to music from the angelic realms, including inspired songs from John Lennon, George Harrison, and Michael and the Band. This is show host Marcia McMahon inviting you to join us as we share messages from the Ascended Masters and the Archangels as we bring you into a higher vibration of love and peace for the planet. Hear my weekly interviews with cutting-edge world teachers and musical talent.
Do you like music, angels, and channeling? Are you spiritual, a psychic, or a healer? We are one on the Peaceful Planet Show at www.bbsradio.com every Saturday at 12 noon Central Time.
Welcome to the Peaceful Planet Show. This is your host, Marcia McMahon, and we have a very special guest with us today, John Calley, who is a spokesperson for the famous Chief Joseph, and we'll be getting to that in a little while after our announcements and some special music. You were listening to the Peaceful Planet, synthesized from spirit by the mediumship of Bob Murray. And you can tune into Bob's great songs from spirit at thestarstillshine.com. Hope you're having a great Saturday. I know we're going to have a very interesting chat with John. And before we do, I wanted to read a message. I know occasionally I get messages that are very uplifting from the guides. I work with Princess Diana, John Lennon, and others, but I work with quite a few others, and collective guides and angels as well. So I wanted to let you know that I received this message a while ago about portraits being available of yourself, and I do portraits of the Ascended Masters, and you can check out my website at www.DianaSpeaksToTheWorld and go to the gallery, and there you'll see the Ascended Masters Gallery and many Diana galleries. And in the past, I was focused on painting Diana to accompany her messages, and as well, I have a few paintings of John Lennon, and they have the aura around them. And I was recently asked by a collective group of guides to work on doing some beautiful colors of the rainbow called Aura Portrait. So I'm going to now be offering that. I wanted to bring that out on the show. And I'd like to read the message that accompanied it because I thought it was very beautiful. Good morning, guides. Good morning, Marcia. We gather round and encircle you in divine light. We are the keepers of the light codes. With whom do I speak? We are the collective of those ascended in angelic realms working for Mother Earth Gaia to enlighten you before the great shift. What do you wish to say then? Be at peace and great change. The face of the earth will change. We ask you to be very strong and to assist others on the path. Continue to cleanse the chakras, developing your own bright colors, so that each of you glows from within, for this is preliminary. When you are lit up, then that light travels everywhere, attaining greater light. That light encircles more and more of your light workers in this vibration of color and joy. Perhaps you'd like to begin painting this for others. Offer your art with channeled portraits of the chakra system. We leave you in peace and blessing. We are the keepers of the light codes. Do your work with the beautiful colors of the rainbow divine, Adonai. So I thought that was a really uplifting message, and I want to mention my email at dianaspeaks@hotmail.com. You can reach me there very easily, and if you are interested in having your portrait, you would also need to send me a JPEG through the email, and I will work with your picture and then tune in to the guides and angels that work through me as I do these portraits, and I would do a special portrait just for you. And there will be a charge for that as well, and we can discuss that in email. So, anyway, I wanted to mention that, and that's one of my announcements. Of course, many of you have heard of my tour through France, and it's the Mary Magdalene Black Madonna pilgrimage, and seats are filling up very fast for this, and registration closes on July 31st, so I want to mention quickly the website that you can go to read more about France and the Black Madonna pilgrimage. It is a holy pilgrimage, and it is interdenominational, and you can go to www.bodymindspiritjourneys.com and look at what is available and all the wonderful places that we'll be visiting in France. So, before we begin our interview, I also had planned to play some special music for you. And what I'd like to do is play Prelude to Savannah. And then when we get back, by the way, this is inspired from Bob Murray, and it is written originally, that is channeled in from George Harrison. And it is about ascension on earth. So let's play that tune, and then we'll be right back with our special guest, John Calley.
So welcome back to the Peaceful Planet, and we have our special guest with us today, John Calley, and he is a spokesperson for the Chief Joseph energy that comes through him, and he has a lot of wisdom, and his website is www.greatwesternpublishing.org. And this is the spirit that was incarnated as the legendary Chief Joseph of the Nez Perce tribe in what is now the state of Oregon in northwestern USA. And the messages are a blend of information from Joseph, other spirits in the Joseph group, and John. So, John, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Well, thank you, Marcia.
It's wonderful to have you with us, and you have your messages from Chief Joseph. As well, posted on the internet, and I read them frequently and find them very interesting. And of course, Joseph was a real historical figure, and was—I guess he was the chief of the Nez Perce tribe. Am I pronouncing those
Nez Perce? Right.
Nez Perce, yes. And he has himself an interesting history, and I thought we'd kind of open. With a little bit on the history, if you could fill us in a little bit on what had happened during his life and how he became so renowned.
Okay, well, he was born, nobody knows exactly when, but he was born about 1840. And his father, the elder Chief Joseph, was one of the chiefs of the tribe. There was no supreme chief in the Nez Perce tribe. He was one of the chiefs, and his son, young Joseph, succeeded him. And at the time, Joseph was around in his 37 or so, in his mid-30s. U.S. government started putting pressure on them to move out of their ancestral homeland, the Wallowa Valley, and all of that led to what we call today in our history books the Nez Perce War of 1877.
Mm-hmm.
And what it all boiled down to was the U.S. Army chasing the Nez Perce for 1,700 miles. The Nez Perce, including Joseph and his people, his band of Nez Perce, were fleeing towards Canada, trying to escape the oppression that they were really being forced into by our government, the U.S. Army, and of course the flight ended just short of Canada, and Joseph and his people were captured, and many of them had died, including Joseph's brother. And so that was the beginning of the second half of his life, and it was a very sad journey, the second part.
Indeed it is, and I was searching around the internet last night looking on your site and somehow got landed on eBay inadvertently and found a marvelous photograph of him that was taken, and I'm not sure the author, but I made a little print out of it, and I have my print here in the living room with me, as well as I've done some sage burning ceremony before our conversation, you know, so I've got his presence right here with me, and I'm sure you do too. And yes, it was a really sad life, and that happened so frequently to so many of our native cultures at that time, and it was really unfortunate because as I was reading on the history, it was made clear that there was a treaty that had been signed by his father and the U.S. government, which allowed them to stay on their land in Oregon, and the U.S. government violated that treaty, basically. And Joseph diplomatically tried so often, as I was reading, to assert the treaty.
Yes.
Then when they could no longer assert the treaty, they went north, and they were hoping to find British territory in Canada, apparently, and came through Yellowstone and were kind of on a forced march, and then they ended up in Leavenworth, Kansas, I guess, where maybe they were captive. So he did not have an easy life, but very often when people don't have an easy life, I've you know, noticed in my study of various masters, the ascended masters anyway, that when things are not very easy at all is what causes the soul to have such growth. And therefore, it seems as though this lifetime imparted him great wisdom in his leadership skills there for his people. The sadness that came over him was very sad. But, you know, it's ironic, too. We as Americans often are now so very open to the native traditions and ways and seeking the wisdom that their culture imparts, and yet our forefathers mercilessly destroyed almost all of these beautiful Indian tribes all over America. So I think today we hold them in great reverence and know that they had such great wisdom and such reverence for the earth. But, you know, it's really sad what happened to so many and what happened to Chief Joseph. But that being said, I wonder if you could lead us into an understanding of how he came to speak to you and be your spirit guide, and then how he expanded upon that vision and works with you through these messages and also in your readings with others.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, the first time I became aware of Joseph as Joseph was in May of 1992 when he, if you will, introduced himself to me.
Yeah, I know. I had the same thing happen with Princess
Yes.
Di for me.
You know how that goes.
Yes, I do.
But I started channeling another spirit guide back in 1988, and that went on for, privately, we didn't do it publicly, that went on for several years. But during that whole time, I was aware of this entity hanging around the periphery of my awareness. And I knew it had Native American energy, and it was a male. But I didn't know who it was, and we didn't connect, really, until May of 1992, and then that's when I started channeling Joseph. And again, we did it privately. It was that was a pretty rough time in my life. I was going through a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so he just simply offered to help me with my personal stuff. So that's, I said, sure, I can use all the help we can get,
mm-hmm.
or I can get. And so we did that for several years. And then I got to know some other people who were also channels and very much on a spiritual, on a conscious spiritual path, like I was at that point, and still am. And they convinced me, or they sort of twisted my arm, I should say, to channel Joseph for others. And I said, I really don't want to do that. This is just between him and me. But eventually they, and Joseph supported them, not me. And eventually they prevailed, and we started doing the newsletter and doing private readings for people.
How nice. So how very nice. So he's been your friend and spirit guide for all these years. That's quite some time to have been channeling him.
Yes. I've been channeling him since 1992, and so it's 15 years now.
Yeah, and I often read your messages on the Circle of Light e-zine that's published by Lady Isis, and if any of you aren't familiar with that, you could type that into a search engine and look at it. But occasionally she publishes your articles
mm-hmm.
that are from him, and I always find that they're filled with a lot of practical wisdom, and they seem to transcend all traditions, even though he's coming from the native mm-hmm. tradition. He seems to have a very broad viewpoint on life in general, and he seems to be able to give highly accurate and down-to-earth spiritual advice
mm-hmm.
for those that are wanting that kind of thing. So I was impressed with some of the recent messages from Chief Joseph, and I like the one that he shared on personal declaration of independence, Now, how often do you do the Joseph messages?
We do them once a week. We publish. They're relatively short, and we have an email reminder. I call it that I mail out to our mailing list, and that contains an introduction to the that week's message, which is published on our website.
Mm-hmm. It's very nice. I really liked what he had to say about personal declaration of independence, and he was talking in this message about letting others determine standards for your life, and he was kind of saying really no to that idea, that you really need to be, you know, declare your own independence from others' opinions and thoughts and personal dogmas and so on.
So many of us are brought up to believe that that we should trust only in the wisdom of others, and we're not encouraged or taught to trust our own inner guidance. And so that's certainly a big point that Joseph makes very often, is our own highest and best guidance is always our own inner guidance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So true. And, you know, occasionally I visit the spiritualist church. I have one here in the state of Illinois downstate, and I was up there last week. And I'm always amazed, too, at the number of Indian spirit guides that come through for people. And I just wanted to throw that in because here we are in America, and there's so many natives that have lived and breathed on this continent that are coming through right now for other people and standing in as guides. And then some of us may remember lifetimes as Native Americans. I haven't consciously remembered any, but I did have a dream that I was way up in Canada one time, and I was an Indian, and I was swimming, and I was protecting my family. It was very vivid, and I wrote it down. So, you know, I think the connection that we have spiritually to these great tribes and nations is still there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For sure, you know.
And they were so much in touch with our Mother Earth, much more so than we are today.
Mm-hmm.
And so that certainly lends a whole new spiritual dimension to their beings and to what they bring through to us today here.
Definitely. I think they could really teach us a lot in our high-tech society with our cement cities and our factories and our pollutants and all that we've done to spoil the land.
Mm-hmm.
And if we had heeded their original wisdom, we wouldn't have possibly all these crises in Mother Earth with the melting of the ice caps and the lack of reverence. Wasn't it Chief Seattle that gave a talk one time? There was a famous Chief Seattle who talked about the oneness of the earth and what you do to the earth is what you do.
Yes, the web of life. Yes.
Pardon me?
The web of life.
Thank you, yes. And that was a great statement, too. So, you know, these sacred writings are revered today, but it seems as though people are going to have to want to change the way they treat the earth if they're going to affect any change.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, from what I'm being told by my angelic and higher sources, you know, in some cases, with regard to earth changes, they're going to be happening anyway, you know. And it's kind of a form of rebellion from Mother Earth Gaia because of the amount of abuse that's been heaped upon the earth. So, they have much to impart in terms of wisdom today. I was wondering, too, John, do you ever receive contacts from Native peoples of any kind regarding your work? And I wondered if it was positive or negative or whether there was any interest at all.
Well, when we first started channeling publicly, Marcia, this was back in 1996, we did receive quite a bit of attention from particularly the Nez Perce people.
Oh, how wonderful.
It was, well...
It wasn't wonderful. Sorry. Okay, I gotcha.
It was almost always negative.
Oh,
I guess one comment that one lady made once kind of epitomizes the attitude that I felt from them toward us back then. She said, how could a white man be channeling a red man? But then, you know, and of course I would be upset whenever we got these kinds of emails. It was always email. It was never phone calls or personal meetings or anything like that. But eventually I just said to myself, well, they're entitled to think what they want to think, to their own opinions. And I just withdrew, and Joseph talks about this all the time and in other contexts. Mm-hmm. But I just withdrew my attention from them, and they just disappeared. And
mm-hmm. Good.
For
well,
the last few years, there's been nothing.
Mm-hmm. I think that's why, because in channeling Princess Diana, you know, I've had my share of scorn and ridicule.
I'm sure you
well,
have, yes.
Because she has a very important message relating to world peace and that situation in the Middle East that she's been working on with me
mm-hmm.
for about 7 years now, and I've published 2 books. The latest is With Love from Diana, and, you know, I've had occasional nasty negative criticisms in email saying, how could I claim this, and wasn't I trying to get on to her fame or something
mm-hmm.
with my books or whatever. And, you know, when people have celebrity status or when they're famous and they're associated with another group of people, like she is with the royals,
mm-hmm.
then you can expect to get flack from the
sure.
group that they were originally from, simply because, you know, that's where you're going to have the most skepticism and criticism. I'm not talking about her sons,
mm-hmm.
but I have had nasty emails from others that have associations with her original, you know, culture of origin, shall I say, to make it very vague. Because I don't want to identify who these emails were from, but, you know, that happens, and you just have to do your work and go about the wisdom that's being imparted, because the general populace will look at this and get their own wisdom from
exactly.
it. And for those who are open to channeling, I highly recommend that they look into the writings of Chief Joseph, because they're universal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's very ironic, too, that you had that reaction, because I know that many Native people do accept the idea of spirit channeling and mediumship, and that's integral to their culture. So
mm-hmm.
it's very disappointing, isn't it? But you just have to move on, and so what, you know? I
yeah,
understand
yeah.
that well. So I know. And what he brings through is quite extraordinary, and he covers almost every aspect of life. It seems to me it's a lot like what I have from Princess Diana, that,
mm-hmm.
that there's nothing that she hasn't touched upon. So, anyway, highlighting some other messages here. Let me look at this one here. The message, the newsletter is called The Sentinels of the Sky, and people can sign up for that right on your website, right, John?
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm. And he talks a lot about the law of attraction, human relationships, finding your joy, and even God. So I wonder if you could just kind of highlight a couple of themes that run through that and kind of give us an idea of what he's saying.
Okay, well, certainly a very common theme in everything that I've ever received from Joseph is this message of joy, and that life is supposed to be fun. And this isn't original with Joseph. Many other spirit guides and human teachers have said the same thing. But life is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be joyful. And our higher selves, our God selves, goddess selves, are always in a state of joy. And they exist eternally in that state of joy, a state of bliss. And we, the human extensions of that God and goddess energy, are supposed to mirror that joy, that bliss. And we don't do it very well a lot of times. And this, we certainly have our challenges being in physical bodies in this physical material world that we live in today. But Joseph has always said so many times over the years, to me personally and to many others publicly and in private readings, that you can always find the joy in every experience, no matter how horrendous it might seem to your human eyes. There is always an element of joy there, and you can focus on that. You can dig it out, if you will, dig out that nugget and expand it. And so that's kind of the general theme of, or certainly one of the main general themes of our work over the years, that element of joy the measure of success in any human life, according to Joseph and also others too, is the amount of joy you feel. You can measure your success by how joyful you've made your life.
Well, if that's all there is to it, then I can say I've had some success.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
Even though
I don't always feel that way, but I have, you know. Because I think in this society, which is so opposite, the value is money. How much money do you make? How much career and achievement do you have? How much house do you have? How much car? And, you know, the native peoples are so completely opposite that. They're so completely opposite that. So it doesn't surprise me that he's giving such advice on obtaining joy. And, you know, it's amazing to me, too, that he's giving so much from his perspective now. It's really wonderful that somehow you were able to translate these messages, get them on the internet, and interest people in what he's saying, and that he's got a wider audience. Isn't it wonderful that he's got this wider audience, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I find that that's what's going on, too, in my work with John Lennon. There's a corollary there because, you know, he's still doing all this music, and we're featuring his music and the music of George Harrison from Spirit now. And it's like, of course, in John's case, he had left a lot of unfinished business and a lot of talent behind when he was taken from this world so horribly. And so he's actually looking for an audience through me and through other mediums. You know, he's actually looking for agents, producers. He wants the music out there. So these Spirit guides that were working on something very good for humanity and working on themselves and were very developed on the earth plane are perfect spirit guides for the masses and can come through with large audiences. And I think in some cases, it sounds like it with Joseph and certainly with John, they're actually looking for an audience. They're looking for more people to turn on to what they've learned. You know.
Yes, I agree.
Mm-hmm. So it's really a wonderful thing that he had suffered so greatly in his lifetime on Earth, and he's able to, put that into a perspective and bring through this positive information for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And, he goes into so many different things that are wisdom things. Now, I was reading the one here about money is the root of all evil.
Oh, yes.
But I thought that was really interesting, what he had to say on abundance. I wonder if you could, you know, just clarify that message a little bit.
Okay. I grew up in a Roman Catholic family, family
mm-hmm,
of Italian immigrants, and money was always a big issue for our family when I was young, when my generation was young, and it was kind of viewed as, and this isn't unique to my family or my generation, but money was viewed as kind of a necessary evil. You
mm-hmm.
had to have it to survive, to physically survive, but you didn't want to focus too much on it because it was just kind of, it was kind of like sex. You know, it was there, but you didn't focus on it. It was just kind of something that you put up with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds like Roman Catholic indoctrination, all right? I know just what you mean. I had the upbringing myself.
And so, but Joseph's perspective on money, and my perspective now at this point in my life on money, is that it's just part of God's abundance. And,
mm-hmm.
and we do need it to live our lives. But it's not... If we live our lives in joy, then all the abundance we need, including the dollars, will come to us.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a book, Marcia Sinatar, I think, was the
mm-hmm.
author who wrote this book called Do What You Love and the Money Will Follow.
Mm, yeah, I remember seeing that book years ago.
Quite
mm-hmm.
a few years ago, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now, of course, we've got The Secret and all the other, you know, books there for people to become liberated from their poverty consciousness and move up in vibration and understand there's nothing wrong with attracting substance and joyous experiences and good vibrations of being allowed with money,
yes.
which is it's a revelation, really.
It really is for many people. And,
mm-hmm. I know. And you have to really work on that. That's one of my issues, too, you know, accepting money for what I do naturally. That's nice. It's a wonderful feeling when someone signs up for a reading or orders a painting or says the artwork I do is nice or they liked my book, you know. I think that's the highest compliment, you know. And I'm sure you get that when you do these readings for Joseph. And I'm curious about the readings and how they must be. They must be just really wonderful, you know. But, of course, we won't be doing any reading or channeling on air today. But people can find that on your website. Let me get the website again, greatwesternpublishing.org. So tell me now, you live out in Wyoming, right, John?
Yes, northwestern Wyoming, Marsh.
So that seems like the perfect setting to be bringing through Joseph as well. Are you way out in the wilds in some park somewhere? Or? I mean, I've got this romantic picture of you out there.
Well, it is pretty romantic out here. It's pretty remote. It's
really?
My town is about 50 miles east of Yellowstone.
Wow.
And it's the town's name is Cody, named after Buffalo Bill Cody.
Oh, sure. Yeah, Cody, Wyoming. I've heard of it, yeah.
It's just a small town. I mean, it's big for Wyoming, but it's a small town, about 9,000 people. And so it is pretty remote, but it's interesting, and one of the reasons I was drawn to this area many years ago is that the just north of town here, about 15, 20 miles, there's a highway called the Chief Joseph Highway.
Really?
And it follows the Nez Perce historical trail, as they call it.
Oh, wow.
Which was part of the escape route that Joseph and his people took when they were
mm-hmm.
Fleeing from the U.S. Army back in 1877. So it's beautiful. It's a spectacularly beautiful country. It's.
I bet. And does it go through the Yellowstone at all or close by?
The Nez Perce, when they were... trying to get to Canada, did go through Yellowstone.
I had read that, yeah.
Yeah, and then they
Sounds
came
fabulous.
Out.
Fabulous.
They came out right here near Cody and then headed north up into Montana toward Canada.
Yeah. So that's amazing that you're actually living in the same vibration where he was.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. That's exactly, I mean, that seems so exactly right. For you're in your right place. You know, they say, everybody's in their right place in the universe, you know. It sounds like you found it.
yes, it certainly is. And it's just this wonderful energy up there in that high country. And it blows me away every time I go up there. So.
Yeah, so are you actually in the Rockies or are you near the Rockies? Or
no,
I'm not
we're
sure
in the
I haven't
Rockies,
been in the area.
The town, Cody, the town, is in this huge valley called the Bighorn Basin.
Uh-huh.
And the Rockies are all around us.
Wow. That just sounds so impressive. And how marvelous to make that connection to the same land where mm-hmm. where he was. Now, when you were when you moved there, had you already been working with him, or was this just a coincidence, shall we say, that you happened to be in the same spot where he was?
Well, the first time I moved here, I moved here back in 1990, and then I left and then came
mm-hmm.
back again. In 1990, I wasn't working with Joseph, but when I came back some years later, I was. So there was, the second time anyway, a conscious connection
mm-hmm.
to the land and my work with Joseph.
That's literally amazing. Just amazing. So have you brought through any other... any native guides or any other guides since working with Joseph as long as you have?
Well, my first spirit guide that I was aware of, at least, when I started just playing around with channeling back in 1988, was a Native American woman. Her name was Tamara, and she's still with me. I consider her part of our Joseph group, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But other than Tamara and Joseph, no, there's no.
Mm-hmm. So you stick to the same ones. I did that for years, and now I've expanded and channeled so many on the other side, spiritual hierarchy type historical figures. I teach art history, and it makes sense because,
sure,
you know, I'm thinking about all these people in history and everything, and sometimes they come in with a message when I'm working on something. That, for instance, I've had some recent regressions being done for past life. I was curious, so I went and had some hypnosis done recently. And
for your own past lives?
Yeah, just to explore it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And made a connection, and I always taught this part of ancient Egypt, Akhenaten and the one true God, you know, and that aspect of the New Kingdom. And it was this week that I received a channeled message from Akhenaten confirming that I had been his daughter in a previous lifetime named Meritaten. And because I teach art history, my students were submitting some files to me of PowerPoints, and many of them contained images of Akhenaten kissing Meritaten. It was amazing. It was literally amazing how accurate what I got was in the past life regression and then the subsequent channeling, you know. So, it's something that's very interesting to me, and everybody's been through many, many different incarnations.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, depending on where you pick up on the timeline, I found, because I teach art history, I go through prehistory all the way through modern and so on, I pick up on other entities as I go along the way. And I've also been contacted personally by some who are also standing in as personal guides to me. So I have John Lennon, Mother Teresa, and Princess Di, but I always had a closeness to Jesus. And then in this regression that I was doing, I connected that why I had this closeness to Jesus, even though I'm not part of any organized religion anymore, I still do resonate with him, and I had a lifetime out where I knew him. So it's amazing, you know, it's literally amazing. And we're living in amazing times when these spirit guides are able to speak through us, and so many more people are turning on to the truth of channeling. I think most channeling that I read is true, and I think you have to use your own discernment, of course, but I think that there is a lot of good information being brought forth in these times, don't you think?
Yes, I certainly do, and even most of my family is still Catholic, or at least Christian, and even some of them are very open to, some of them are really turned off by what I do, but some of them are really open to it, and in particular
yes,
my son.
Yes, I find the same thing. Mm-hmm. My father has always been so open to my channeling with Princess Diana, and of course that all deals with politics in the Middle East, and a long time ago now I had weekly correspondence with a top diplomat who took all the channeling and was very impressed with it and took the solution. So, you know, my dad says all the time, you know, you're just doing great work, and he always praises my work, which really means a lot to me. And I know he's senile now and he doesn't really know what he's saying, you know, but, you know, having support from some family members and having interest is nice. And I think that you don't have to be religiously conflicted about receiving guidance from spirit guides, having a Catholic background or having any other background, because so much of this guidance that's coming through, especially with your work with Joseph, is a personal guidance that could be read and accepted whether or not you accept the idea of mediumship, channeling, whatever, you know. I think people have to get past that initial barrier to be seeking for higher wisdom in the first place in order to accept it, don't you think?
Yes, and, you know, we're all part of God. We're extensions of God in human form, and so we have that direct line to heaven, if you will.
We definitely do, and there's no telling which of us has unique spirit guides, and I think it's now more than ever, it's very important to try to connect with your angels and guides to receive intuitive guidance. And this is a universal thing. It doesn't have to be with a particular religion.
No.
And some religions will condemn it more heavily than others, but you have to think about their psychology and what they stand to lose. If you can connect to God directly through prayer, if you can connect to your spirit guides through meditation, then you don't personally need to go to a church and pay a minister to interpret the Bible for you.
Exactly.
Or a priest to forgive you your sins. You know, you don't have to worry about any of that. You can get guidance directly. And that's what they don't like. That's what I figured out a long time ago. And, of course, I've been sort of unwelcome in all those spiritual circles. But
I know the feeling.
I used to be a devout Catholic. Then I was in the Protestant movement for years and years and in leadership positions. And even taught channeled books. I taught the Course in Miracles at various churches. And then, you know, when I began channeling Princess Di, many people in the congregation were interested, and I shared it, and then, boom, I got booted out, which is what happens, you know, because organized religion has their own agenda for
they
what
do.
They approve as truth, and their form of truth is, the more I, you know, work with BDS and everything else, the more I realize that, you know, people are waking up right now, and this is a time of awakening. And you're going to get a lot of good information from channeling. So, you know, I think your work is very nice, and I want to close out by giving your website and also ask you if there's anything else that's on your mind that you'd like to share about your work that I may have omitted.
No, I think you've done a great job, Marcia. Thank you.
Well, thank you for coming on the show. It was a pleasure to speak with you. And our guest's name is John Kelly. And he is a spokesperson for Chief Joseph of the Nez Perce tribe. And most of what comes through Chief Joseph is personal daily wisdom. I highly encourage you to sign up for his email and weekly messages from Joseph. And you can visit the site at www.greatwesternpublishing.org. So thank you again for joining us on the Peaceful Planet. And I hope we stay in touch. It was a great pleasure to have you with us today.
Well, thank you, Marcia, and yes, we'll stay in touch, and I really appreciate your having us here today.
Well, thank you again for all the wisdom that you're bringing forth through Chief Joseph, and I wonder if you're going to ever publish that book, or are you going to publish a book?
Oh, yes, we're working on a couple of them right now.
Oh, wonderful. Well, if you do, get back in touch with me. I'd like to see the book and put you on the show again.
Certainly. Sure,
that would be wonderful. Sure. And we're going to close out our show today on the Peaceful Planet, and we thank you for listening. And we're going to be playing Something for Gossamer Wings as channeled by Bob Murray, and it's George Harrison channeling through. And encourage you to listen once again next week on the Peaceful Planet, and I want to encourage you to visit my website at www.dianaspeakstotheworld.com. Also want to encourage you to visit France Black Madonna Mary Magdalene Pilgrimage at www.bodymindspiritjourneys.com, and then just click on tours and go to the France tour and sign up for that. And we thank you for joining us, and we're going to play Something for Gossamer Wings. Have a great day, and we'll see you next week.
Okay, I'm going to read the words a little slowly at first.